Good morning, everyone. We find ourselves living in interesting times. Well, who wants to be bored anyway? On the one hand, we may think that current circumstances are totally unprecedented. What with concerns about executive overreach, questions about constitutional boundaries, the routine breaking of governmental norms, and unbridled bullying on the international stage. Yet, history offers us perspective. Down through the ages, it's estimated that there have been thousands of individuals who've assumed the mantle of tyranny. Now, they've been kings and emperors, military dictators, elected officials who gradually seized more power, revolutionary leaders who betrayed their ideals, and party secretaries who ruled through fear. The ancient Greeks coined the term tyrant over 2,500 years ago. And every generation since has witnessed struggles with humanly devised systems of power, authority, and governance. Today's seemingly urgent challenges are merely the latest chapter in humanity's ancient refusal to yield to divine control, a struggle that has persisted throughout civilization. Simply put, since humanity's fall, human nature has clung tenaciously to its illusion of supremacy, defending what it mistakenly believes to be its rightful dominance. What do they say the definition of insanity is? It's doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. So yes, we are living in unprecedented times, but not because current circumstances themselves are notably different from historical patterns. What is unprecedented is each moment's unique revelation of the majesty and magnificence of spirit, infusing all creation with its presence. Indeed, this same focus of spirit provides the wherewithal for us in this moment to individually and collectively express something truly wonderful and totally new. And while change and uniqueness characterize each moment's radiant unfolding, the fundamental nature of spirit itself remains unchanging, a bedrock of stability and constancy. Unlike humanity's unpredictable and often haphazard ways, spirit provides an unwavering foundation beneath the ever-shifting surface of events. This divine constancy offers a profound anchor in tumultuous times, reminding us that beneath the chaos of human affairs lies an eternal, dependable presence that transcends the fickleness and whims of the human condition. the founders of our republic here in the United States were acutely aware of tyranny's persistent threat. Having just fought a revolution against what they viewed as monarchical overreach, they designed a constitution with numerous checks and balances, separation of powers, federalism, and explicit individual rights. Yet many, particularly those like John Adams and James Madison, recognized that no document alone could safeguard liberty. Madison famously wrote in Federalist Paper Number 51 that if men were angels, no government would be necessary, at least no human government. The founders understood that constitutional protections would ultimately prove insufficient without what was referred to as a virtuous citizenry. They believed that self-governance required individuals who genuinely could place the whole above self-interest, above the self-centered compulsions of the human ego. So the founders were deeply pragmatic in their understanding of human nature. They created a system that acknowledges human flaws while establishing structures to channel human ambition in constructive directions. Essentially, they designed a substitute pattern that, while imperfect, provides essential stability and protection against mankind's worst tendencies. We'll see how well this holds up in the days to come. Of course, we know that men and women were created to be angels. So, an interesting rephrasing of Madison's question might be, if men and women were expressing their true angelic nature, what type of government would emerge on that basis? I think the answer is not something the mind is going to figure out. Ultimately, it's discovered through the expression of the tone on the part of some or maybe many who have awakened to their true identity in life's work. Benjamin Franklin's reported response when asked what form of government the Constitutional Convention had created was a republic, if you can keep it. This basically underscores the founders' understanding that maintaining liberty demands ongoing civic virtue, demands nobility of character on the part of individuals in the way they conduct themselves in their everyday living. And this is not someone else's responsibility. In the larger sense, it's a sacred trust undertaken by all who recognize their place within the archangelic body. Ask not what spirit can do for you. Ask what you can do in service to spirit. This recognition that character matters, that the spirit is embodied in individuals, forms the true backbone of any governing structure. This is what lays the groundwork ultimately for heavenly governance and true collective function in service to the whole. And what exactly is this nobility of character that the founders so valued? It's not merely a set of virtues to strive for or moral codes to follow, though these outer manifestations are certainly important. At its essence, nobility of character springs from alignment with the very character of spirit itself, the divine essence at the heart of all existence. Among the essential qualities of nobility, humility stands perhaps as the most foundational, yet often overlooked, particularly in today's climate, where self-promotion and bombast are frequently rewarded. True humility isn't self-deprecation or false modesty, but rather a clear-sighted recognition of our place within the larger spiritual order. It's the quiet acknowledgement that we are vessels for something greater than ourselves, conduits through which spirit may express its nature, rather than claiming personal ownership of these virtues as if they were our own creation. This humble stance creates the space for other virtues to flourish naturally. When we're genuinely humble, we listen before speaking, consider before judging, and serve before seeking recognition. We see this quality exemplified in those who accomplish meaningful work without fanfare, who lead through example rather than command, and who find joy in elevating others rather than themselves. In an age where humility might seem quaint or even naive, it remains the fertile soil from which all other aspects of nobility grow. For without humility, even seemingly virtuous actions become subtle forms of self-aggrandizement, outward displays divorced from the authentic expression of spirit within. When we speak of traits such as humility, integrity, courage, wisdom, and selflessness, we're not describing external qualities that must be laboriously acquired through sheer willpower. Rather, we're describing the natural expression of our authentic selves in alignment with the spiritual essence at our core. Perhaps what is thought of as character development can be seen in a whole different light. Instead of seeing it as an arduous process of adding virtues that we lack, we recognize it as a process of removing the obstacles, the fear, self-centeredness, and materialistic thinking that obscure our inherent nobility. Discipline remains vital in this process, but not as a means of forcing ourselves to follow external rules, but as the consistent practice of clearing away what prevents our true nature and stature from shining through. And in doing this consistently, it's found that the expression of nobility becomes as natural as breathing. We see this principle at work in those rare individuals throughout history who have demonstrated remarkable character, even in the most challenging circumstances. Their nobility doesn't appear forced or calculated, but flows with a natural grace that inspires others. They remind us that when we align with the spiritual reality within and around us, we don't have to strain to be virtuous. We simply express what we already are. The implications for governance are profound. Our current constitutional system, with its checks and balances, was designed with the understanding that humanity often fails to express this nobility consistently. Yet as individuals consciously align with their inner reality, allowing their inherent nobility of character to manifest, a foundation is laid for a governance that reflects not just human pragmatism, but divine wisdom. This is not to suggest that we'll soon outgrow the need for constitutional protections in our various republics across the globe. But it does remind us that our engagement with governance begins not with political activism, but rather with spiritual alignment, with the daily choice of allowing spirit to be known through us in every aspect of our lives. This perspective invites us to reconsider the very nature of representation in governance. The founders, with their profound understanding of human tendencies, deliberately established a representative democracy rather than a pure one. They harbored justifiable concerns about direct democracy devolving into mob rule, a tyranny of the majority, lacking the wisdom and restraint necessary for just governance. Their solution was representation filtered through individuals selected for their judgment and character. In a similar vein, we might contemplate how divine governance would naturally manifest in a representative form. It would be unrealistic to expect all people simultaneously to awaken to and consistently express their inherent nobility of character. Rather, those who do make this conscious choice, those who align themselves most clearly with spiritual reality, they would naturally emerge as representatives, not through self-promotion or political ambition, but through the unmistakable quality of their living. This noble assembly, if you will, would lead not through domination, but through service, not through force, but through inspiration. Their authority would stem not from title or position, but from their transparent alignment with spiritual principles that resonate in the depths of every human soul. They would govern not by imposing their will upon others, but by creating conditions in which each person might more easily discover their own inherent nobility. And what of those who have not chosen this path of alignment? They would neither be ruled over nor excluded, but rather invited and inspired. The noble representatives would recognize that the same potential for spiritual alignment exists within all people, even those who have not yet awakened to it. Their governance would be characterized by patience and profound respect for each individual's journey, maintaining unwavering faith in human beings' capacity for love and transformation. This model transcends both the tyranny of majorities and the elitism of privileged minorities by anchoring representation in something universal, yet individually expressed. It suggests a form of collective wisdom emerging not from counting votes, but from cultivating character, from the living demonstration that nobility flows naturally when we align ourselves with the spiritual authority that underlies all creation. Such governance finds its precedent in what might be called the ordinances of heaven, those immutable principles that govern the universe itself. Consider the physical constants that scientists have discovered, those precise values that make physical existence possible. The cosmological constant, the strong nuclear force, the ratio of electron to proton mass. Each of these is calibrated with extraordinary precision. And if any were altered by even a minuscule amount, stars couldn't form, atoms couldn't bond, and the universe as we know it simply couldn't exist. These are not arbitrary rules imposed upon reality, but the very conditions that allow reality to flourish in the first place. They create boundaries within which infinite creativity can express itself. They apply universally, yet give rise to incredible diversity. They operate consistently, yet nurture infinite possibilities. In short, they demonstrate the perfect balance of freedom within the framework of design and order that characterizes divine governance. the noble assembly would function in much the same way. Not by creating arbitrary rules, but by recognizing and aligning with these deeper ordinances that already govern reality. Just as physical constants create the conditions for matter to organize into increasingly complex forms, true governance creates the conditions for collective human consciousness to evolve toward its highest expression. Our current constitutional system, with its checks and balances, represents humanity's pragmatic response to its own limitations. A necessary framework given the current collective state of spiritual awareness. Divine governance, by contrast, operates through beauty and balance rather than checks and balances. It's the difference between a mechanistic system designed to prevent excess and an organic harmony that naturally expresses proportion and grace. This beauty and balance are evident throughout creation, from the precise arrangement of planets in our solar system to the mathematical elegance of a snowflake. They reflect not restrictions imposed from without, but the natural expression of principles that are woven into the very fabric of reality itself. Just as these principles create the conditions for cosmic order, without constraining diversity and the processes of refinement, divine governance would establish the conditions for the flourishing of all creation without imposing uniformity. This transition to divine governance doesn't require the overthrow of existing systems, but rather their gradual transformation through the consistent expression of nobility. As more individuals align with their true nature, the external structures will inevitably shift to reflect this inner reality, just as the physical world naturally organizes itself according to the ordinances of heaven. What glorious work this is, and how thrilling to be in the middle of it all, right where the action is. Let the noble assembly naturally emerge and flourish, all in the service to the one whose universe this is. And those are my words, and there's time for others to continue this conversation. The lines are open.
Sanford, may I be the first to say something today? I give great thanks for the depth of the consideration today. It's obviously you put a lot of time and thought into it, but clearly it was much more than a mental exercise, but a revelation of inspired thought. And it seems to me that what you said today set a certain vibrational path that strikes deep into the core of what's going on in the world today. Very beautiful. And I was thinking of in the human nature world, as we know it, government is so often based on compromise and conflict. A lot of wasted energy. But the true state to be uncovered, which is already present in the heaven, is based in love. And while that sounds very nice, if you think about it a little bit, it means an egoless state where each person has the feeling of doing whatever's needed for the whole, and it makes no difference where in the design I am in the moment, because there's no ego involved. I'm here to be of service and do what is required by me of spirit. And in that, I love what I'm doing. I love the place that I'm at. And those who happen to have a more central role, I love and appreciate the quality of leadership that's being provided. And those who are, to use the words like upper and lower, which are human terms pretty much, those who have a more specific role to play, I love what they're doing and appreciate the specificity of their role. So it's a government based in love, which is something unheard of. And that is beautiful. It doesn't require checks and balances, but the revelation of wonder and beauty. So I'm very grateful for the line of thought vibrationally that you've opened today. Beautiful. Thank you.
I too want to voice my appreciation for your beautiful offering, Sanford. Your expansive thinking and clarity. There is so much love that is shared through that. And the whole concept, the whole government through heavenly government is just so important. And I loved how you brought that back to this place of humility, because we are here just to serve in whatever capacity is needed and without an opinion about it. Just whatever comes to us, we need to embrace and serve and uplift with the love, as Larry just mentioned. It's the love that lets it all just be returned to the one. So I thank you for your amazing way of thinking and allowing us into your thought process and into your heart. So with much love and appreciation.
Christina just mentioned humility, among other things, as you did, Sanford. Thank you so much for offering yourself and for what you've said. And Larry spoke about having no ego. And it is ironic, I think, about so much human government that we've seen. A person wants to lead, but the only way to do that is to have humility, to recognize the larger framework. And you can say the whole country, rather than focusing on one's self-centered ideas. It should be obvious, I know it is, to all of us that the world is in the state it's in because more people have not taken the true framework of cosmic life into recognition. And so here is the full force and the full spectrum of life, love, and truth. And so, as you mentioned, Sanford, you mentioned the word awaken in several forms. I heard you mention that word. And so I join you and all those others who call for people to awaken, whoever they are, if they are willing to awaken, to wake up and know the fullness of being and the full context of what we have available here on Earth. We've heard the word for how many decades? Last call for restoration, third and last call. And the opportunity is present now and always. There is a greater job to do. So it's wonderful to be with you to do this.
Yes, there is a greater job to do. Sanford, when I was furiously taking notes, I'm thinking, wow, this is so excellent. I can't wait to read the transcript. But then at a certain point, it was so rich. It really moved my heart deeply. It is so beautiful. And I feel that you have taken a step on behalf of all of us forward. The words that come to my mind are divine experiment. Actually, what you did when you asked the question about how is this divine governance to emerge, obviously it's not going to happen through everyone at once. But what it started to plant a seed for in me was not just the principles that you've expressed, which are so excellent, but that perhaps we need to open to impulses from heaven yet to come. And I think yours is definitely one of them. For what steps might be taken to let something more specific in representation emerge? I'm sure it's not going to be an alternate United States of the world, but whatever it is. And I also highly recommend, please publish this. Publish it wherever you can. I don't think there'll be negative backwash. It is so true and beautiful. And I just want to close with the words you said near the end. Let the noble assembly naturally emerge and flourish, all in service to the one whose universe this is. Just gorgeous. Thank you so much, Sanford.
Sanford, thank you for making the correlation between a specific noble assembly of about 250 years ago with respect to the United States. People, well, we call them founding fathers, or just as many founding mothers as well. But there is a correlation now, and part of it is the timing of things. I mean, what took place back then could not have occurred before, and it was at the right time, mm-hmm. and it came because there were a sufficient assembly of people sensitive to what was opening in a heavenly sense. And now we are in an era that is similar. An aperture opens for something heretofore unprecedented. And again, there is a noble assembly formed, not just in the US, but throughout the world, of people of like heart, who move, whether that is consciously or not, with the impulse that actually governs. So form to new government is occurring in our own hearts and lives and among us. Indeed, this noble assembly.
Sanford, I appreciate the way you unpacked humility, and you delivered it in this little three little rules of thumb. Listen before speaking, serve before seeking recognition, consider before leaping to judgment. I love a little package, neat little package like that to point me in the right direction. Thank you.
I feel privileged to have been present for what I think is the most eloquent and timely and vital discussion of the political sphere, which is something that I think as spiritual people, we tend to avoid. We would prefer to be aloof from the dirty business of politics, the hurly-burly of confrontation and dealing with conflict and opposing opinions, and it is so important to not push this away, but to let it in. Because how we function together as human beings on Earth, how we cooperate together in our society, it is a primary function. And the servants, our public servants, who enter into that difficult realm, fraught with barbed wire and minefields and missiles, they are the courageous ones who have taken on a task which many of us would never want to take. So thank you for, I think, particularly bringing to focus the idealism of the founders. Because as John was saying a few minutes ago, there was a time kind of like Camelot, when there was this body of human beings who had a vision of a new form of government on the planet. And it was flawed, and they knew all the obstacles. I think you very eloquently pointed out how aware they were of the pitfalls of a democratic form of government. And as you said, the form of a representative democracy was seen as being a way of modifying the mob rule. But I think we even find that in representative democracies, there is still a tendency for mobs to form. And we have that in our polarized partisan politics today. There are these two mobs having at each other and fans cheering from the sidelines. But I feel, again, so grateful to have been present as part of it. So thank you again for letting me into your thoughts and sharing them with us.
Sanford, you mentioned a cosmic order. We live and submerged in a cosmic order. There are ones suffering the illusion that chaos has power. Disorder has power. And I'm persuaded to be disorderly and can reacting to disorder. I don't. It's small. And the ones that have disorder, it's like the guy that speeds down the highway, tailgating everybody, changing the lanes, kind of thing, to get where he's going or she's going. He or she depends on the stability of every other driver to not hit him or her, so they can do their disorderly thing. That is petty, and it is without power. My point is, we live with cosmic order. The air we breathe is cosmic order. The life we have is a part of cosmic order. I love what you said today. What you said is orderly. It is facets of order that we live, and our living is quiet. We don't have to make spectacles of ourselves because we're that powerless. We let the quietness of cosmic order live through our lives, live through our bones. Let love radiate. It radiates like the sun, only cooler. Let's be powerful in that way.
Well, I'll say a sentence that I wrote down when I was living at Sunrise Ranch, and I mentioned it in one of the small groups. Here and now, all is exactly perfect. Seeming imbalance is temporal. Above all, the integrating intelligence moves unceasingly, and at root is unshakable still.
Thank you, Sanford, for this proclamation. Proclamations, true proclamations, are only made by those who have the ability to move in perfect alignment with the true spirit of life. You have done this so beautifully today. Throughout the ages, there have been those who have proclaimed what needed to be. But sadly, there weren't enough of those present who could hear it at the deepest levels within themselves and resonate perfectly with it. Boy, isn't it great that we are here, and I can say thank you, and may my thoughts, words, and actions also be a proclamation. This was very inspirational. I'm sure we all feel it, and thank you so much.
Well, I feel as though we have gathered today in the House of Representatives. And Mr. Speaker, I love what you have brought to our attention. Divine government. Wow, this is, I feel, as others have mentioned, that a door has opened, a window has opened. There is something fresh and new that has emerged this morning and this afternoon. And I am so thankful to be in this House of Representatives, to be aware of my personal responsibility deliberately and consistently to let those essences of divine control, divine government, emerge through me on out into the world. And you mentioned something about the necessity that we have patience and profound respect for each individual's journey. We don't pick and choose who else is in the House of Representatives or who else is doing what. We have been chosen. It emerges, it just emerges as we express that beautiful essence of divine government individually. And we have patience and such respect for each one, wherever they find themselves in this great big body that extends out beyond the Congress. So thank you so much for what you offer today, Mr. Speaker. I positively loved it. Thank you.
Sanford, this is Barbara. I'm sorry, just been trying to sneak in here. The thing that comes to mind for me is I don't have to lead a whole congregation. I just need to touch one person's heart. That's it. Alice Penlow and I took a short trip down to Colorado Springs and Manitou Springs a week ago. And it was lovely. My first time down there. And we went through Garden of the Gods on horseback, which just, I could feel the many who had come before. Same with when we went into the cliff dwellings. I could just feel their integrity of honoring the earth and not taking anything for granted. We stopped in a visitor center, and we had found some coupons in the hotel, you know, buy one, get one half off. Well, we were so excited to be there, we totally forgot to use it. So before we left, I went over and gave it to the gentleman behind the counter who was serving the food. And he looked at me as if I was giving him a check for $1 million. And I said, here, you choose how you want to use this. You can keep it or you can pay it forward. And the softness that came across his face just filled my heart. And I knew it wasn't personal. This is the work, right? This is what everybody's been talking about, that we govern the earth. Well, we govern the earth in every moment of our everyday lives and how we touch one person. I had another experience at a different place. There was a 15-minute movie thing about the history of Garden of the Gods. And we bought the tickets and then realized I couldn't be in it because it was circular and I didn't want to trigger any vertigo. So I did the same thing. I went to the information desk and there was this elderly man working there, beautiful spirit. And I said, we're not going to be able to use this. You seem to keep an eye on what's happening. You give it to whoever you feel drawn to. And he looked at me and he said, but it's $12. Don't you want the $12? And I said, no. It's those little simple things that, and I'm not saying this to you know, it's not about a pat on the back or anything. It's just, when we're in that space, those impulses to touch and to, without judgment, let everyone in is such a good feeling of, yeah, I'm doing what I need to do, one moment at a time, one person at a time, but knowing that I'm connected to infinity of spirit that's been doing this for many, many times before me. So I really appreciate everyone's words and your succinctness on capturing the essence of what I had experienced. So thank you.
Mr. Speaker, I would just like to say that I love being part of this government. This is so beautiful. And I feel like you wrote a symphony and we've been able to enjoy it. And I was thinking right from the beginning of the music this morning that you have touched all of our 12 senses and we have the opportunity now to fulfill that, continue to fulfill that in the days to come. Thank you so much.
Thank you, everyone who has spoken and everyone who has been part of what we were able to build this morning. And I think just this experience together gives indication of just this huge potential of what is possible when those who are in alignment with who they are come together. And it isn't just us, there's many across the globe. So wonderful to be, as I said at the end, you know, it's great just to be in the middle of where the action is. This is where it's at. And just the very beginning of incredible potential in allowing what is the Lord's to come back to its rightful place. So I have a closing piece of music here. I think it fits. So I'll play it for you right now. And again, thank you so much.
Bye-bye, everyone.